You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
The sharpest damn podcast on the internet is back. It's the Bet Slippin' Podcast 2021 U.S. Open preview episode. We're recording Tuesday, June 15th, and the U.S. Open tees off Thursday at the Torrey Pines South Course in the beautiful La Jolla, California. I'm sandwiched between two managing editors to help break down this golf major. On my digital right is my right-hand man of this podcast, the co-host, my handicap and hype man, gambling consigliere, and the sharper half of this podcast, and new managing editor of SportsbookWire.com, the legendary Eston McLaren.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. And hey, let's hope I can live up to legendary with these U.S. Open picks. It's been a rough start to major season on the PGA Tour, but hey, it can only go up.
Yeah, well, you actually won your last golf bet, or last tournament we broke down, the Memorial, with Patrick Cantlay outright. And you did that without our legendary, esteemed guest that we have here on the panel. On my digital left, making his third appearance on the Bet Slippin' Podcast, the man with all the golf sources and even some conspiracy theories, Golf Week's managing editor, the powerful Tim Schmidt.
You know, I haven't seen Eston since he was promoted to king of whatever it is he is now. He's, you know, he's got, it's interesting. I think that there's, in my mind, he's always working each day up on some mountaintop with, you know, glowing around him now. But yeah. Congratulations, man. This is a great promotion and well-deserved.
Pretty sure his official title is Emperor of Sportsbook Wire.
That's what it is. Emperor.
Yeah. Okay. I really, you're going to have to make me look good here, both of you guys, because if I look bad in front of my new boss, Tim, that might be the axe for me, and we're going to have to find a new host here. All right, but let's get it right into it here. The U.S. Open tees off again Thursday. The defending champions, Bryson DeChambeau. We're looking at a par 71 on the Torrey Pines South Course. The distance is 7,652 yards. I guess the characteristics of this course are narrow fairways, thick roughs, so driving accuracy and distance could be the differentiators in this one. But what do you think, what stands out to you mostly about the Torrey Pines South Course? Well, I guess we'll start with you, Tim, since you're our esteemed guest.
Well, I got to play the esteemed course, speaking of, just a few months ago.
As comes right out the gate, name dropping and stuff.
I did. Well, the USGA had us out for both the Olympic Club for the U.S. Women's Open and Torrey Pines for the men's. And so it was an amazing couple of days where we got to play these two golf courses. So I'm going to say something now that I never thought I'd say. It's challenging, of course. It's flatter than you think. I mean, Torrey Pines, the scenery, the images, that you know, the cliffs with the guys hanging off on their on those what do you call those things, even those little things that they ride on in the air?
Hang gliders, huh? Paragliders?
Yeah, those things, something like that. Whatever those are, it's very dramatic. The actual course itself is fairly flat, and the reason I bring this up is I assume it would take someone who would be just a really accurate driver of the golf ball, and after going and being on site, it's changed my mind a little bit. I think that a guy like Jordan Spieth or someone who knocks it around a little bit but finds his way out of trouble and then puts it well could do really well this week, and that's not what I thought before I played there. I'll be honest with you, it was kind of eye opening for me. So it's interesting. It's obviously a very dramatic vision to see the course itself, but aside from the rough being crazy long, which is it's going to be, you've got good angles into these greens. It's going to be kind of fun to watch, to be honest with you. I'm interested to see if maybe guys who we didn't think are wonderful to line up for majors might do well this week.
So scoring to you then could be a little bit lower than we usually see at the US Open or saw in 2008.
No. I think scoring will still be difficult. What I'm saying is I think it's a different style of golfer. Someone, you know, you got in the trees at TPC Harding Park, you're in trouble. You're in jail if you're in the wrong spots. Where I think you're at Torrey, the rough is going to be difficult for everyone. But I think that someone, like I said, like Jordan Spieth's a good example of someone who I probably haven't pegged for these type of tournaments recently, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does well. And obviously he's, I think, fifth or sixth in terms of the betting favorites, right? Somewhere up there.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me pull it up right now. I'll find out specifically where he's at. I don't have him on my player's card. He's not going to be one of the guys that I bet. Actually, I'm only betting one guy. I'm not the expert here, but he's sixth at plus 2,000.
Sixth.
What are the favorites right now? Are John Rahm at plus 900?
Well, wouldn't surprise me if he makes some.
I'm sorry, Tim. I kind of cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It just wouldn't surprise me if someone like that. Now, you know, and then obviously the West Coast, East Coast thing, we talk about that a lot on events like this. That's all obviously something too. I mean, the grasses are different. The style of golf is very different playing on the West Coast. So someone like Xander Schauffele, someone like Phil Mickelson, these guys have all played this stuff for most of their lives. They're very well established at that. But like I said, I was surprised to see how flat the course was after playing Olympic Park the day before, the Olympic Club, excuse me, the day before, and seeing the undulations and the crazy spots that you had to hit in the fairways. I was a little surprised to see how flat Torrey was.
Okay, sorry to jump in here, Jeff, but you mentioned Phil Mickelson there, and you know, obviously, the gut instinct is to go, well, that was a fluke at Kiawah Island. There's no way he's going to go back-to-back in majors here. 50 years old, it's not going to be the time he breaks the U.S. Open curse. But there is that local factor, right? From San Diego, he's played this course extremely well at the Farmers Insurance Open over his career. Is he at plus 5,000 now? That's down from plus 15,000 a month ago. Is he a live dog here?
I don't think I'd mess with Phil. I'm with you. I don't think lightning strikes in a bottle like this twice in a row. I just don't see that happening. Wouldn't you just be stunned if he came out of the gate with a couple of 68s or 67 and a 68 to be somewhere near the top of the leaderboard? I would really be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. T18 here in 2008, and you know what? Three Farmers wins, two runner-ups. It's so easy to write off what we saw a month ago, but you know, it always drags you back in at a course where he's played well before, and hey, it'd be fun.
Yeah, something that I picked up, now, though.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say Xander's a different case. I think a guy like Xander Schauffele, who not only has the local knowledge, but, you know, I always look at these events as when it's someone actually due. We talked about Dustin Johnson before the Masters, last fall, and it just felt like it was his time. The guy was playing a lights out golf. I didn't think that he'd win it the way he did, but it just felt like his time. Oftentimes, I think we get too caught up in recent runs of success rather than seeing what players are finally coming into that spotlight or that window in their career where they could win a major. And Xander's one of those guys I feel like is right there, yet we're not really talking about him too often. So he'd be a great choice with the local knowledge and where he is in his career arc at this point.
I was looking at him to be the top American player. He's right now tied for the third best odds with Bryson DeChambeau at plus 1,100 to be the top American player. The favorite is Brooks Koepka at plus 1,000. He's tied with Dustin Johnson at plus 1,000. So it's interesting that you say that. I didn't even factor into my handicap or notice that he was he's a West Coast guy. Do you think because he's from the West Coast, he has a leg up in on those other three guys?
He's played a lot of golf there over the years. I mean, he knows it as well as anyone. And when it gets to be crunch time, and you have to count on a shot that maybe someone who's only played there a handful of times isn't sure what it's going to do. Xander Schauffele should have the local knowledge to be able to pull some of these things off. So I think he's an excellent choice. And he's someone who, again, flies, kind of under the radar just a little bit. It's hard to say that for a guy with those odds, but still, he's not a prohibitive favorite by any means, and yet should be as good as anyone in this field if you're looking at possible winners, if you ask me.
Obviously not a West Coast guy, but a guy who has great experience at Farmers Insurance Open win as well. John Rahm, the favorite at 900. I usually try to avoid favorites as hard as I can. You've been on here before. You touted Dustin Johnson, the 2020 Masters. Going to that same box, John Rahm plus 900. Six-stroke lead after 54 holes the last time we saw him. He's had 2 weeks to stew about that. Is this the John Rahm revenge tour and not a course where he's played well before?
Boy, it's hard to say that he won't play well, but I mean, if you're picking favorites who've played well there before, Patrick Reed with his value, who just won there a handful of months ago, seems like a pretty good choice to me if that's the route that you're taking is people who've played there well before. We'll see if he decides to pick the ball up and place it wherever he'd like this time. But Patrick
Reed's
a guy who also has played really well there. So if you're looking for that route and want value, I mean, Reed is as good as Rahm, if you ask me, in terms of this tournament at this venue. Again, I'm with you, Esten. You're always looking for value on these things. Do I think Rahm will play well? Of course he's got a chance to win this thing. Would I say lock it down like I felt about DJ a year ago at the Masters in the fall? Absolutely not. It's a much tougher road. And while he's played well here and recently, I haven't seen a prolonged period of dominance like we saw from DJ in that FedEx Cup and all that last year in the fall coming up to that the Masters. So it's a tough one. Again, that's what makes this so fun is when you see guys that are down in the middle of the pack and you think, it wouldn't surprise you to have them pop up. I'll give you a good example. I'm just waiting for the day Tommy Fleetwood finally puts it all together and wins a big tournament like this. And he's certainly got the game to do it. Now, he's never played there before. There's no reason to think that Tommy Fleetwood would win this thing. Yet he's that middle of the pack guy right now that is someone like him. It totally wouldn't surprise me to see him. Again, I'm looking more at career arc than where they are in terms of a recent pattern of success. But he's one of those guys that I expect will win a major at some point, and why not this week?
Hey, not dissimilar from Matsuyama winning the Masters, right?
Exactly.
Going back to the recency bias type thing and a similar price bracket or odds bracket as Patrick Reed is the recent winner of the Memorial Tournament, Patrick Cantlay, excuse me, who's plus 2,500 to win the U.S. Open outright. He's also a local somewhat. He's local for me. I'm in Long Beach. He's in Long Beach, so just 90 minutes away from Torrey Pines. I don't think he has much of a track record at that course, but I don't know. Can you give your quick thoughts or breakdown, both of you? Start with us on his chances of going back to back.
Yeah, I think he's priced appropriately. The Memorial win definitely helps that out a little bit. So maybe you lost a little bit of value from a month ago. No, he's a great golfer. I bet in golf pretty much weekly for a couple of years. He's a tough one. Obviously the Memorial is a little bit different. He's had very good success at Mirrorfield Village, but otherwise it's been tough to kind of pick out where he comes up. And last fall, the Zozo Championship, he wasn't on my radar at all for that. I'm not betting him personally, but I can't criticize anyone backing him off of the Memorial win, even if that was a little bit lucky, perhaps.
Yeah, Patrick Cantlay, a world-class player, no question. But if you're looking at the middle of the pack where he is right now in terms of odds, and you look at other players like Colin Morikawa, who's had success. He's a West Coast guy. He's a great iron player. Victor Hovland, another guy whose irons, you know, spot on, could get hot and is definitely someone who has the game to win this. I'm not saying Cantlay can't win it. He, again, is a really, really, really good player. But, you know, others like Morikawa and Hovland, I would think, are at least as good a betting opportunity, especially with the fact that Cantlay just had that success. I would expect one of them to pop out rather than him to go back-to-back in weeks as big as the Memorial and or back-to-back for him in terms of the Memorial and then the U.S. Open. That would be a very big stretch for Patrick Cantlay.
Awesome. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Austin.
Well, I just to touch on Hovland quickly, I'm very interested in him this week. Obviously, the iron play is excellent. Driver play is great as well. Much improved with the putter this year. The short game, you know, it's strange. That's always been the weak part of his game, but it hasn't impacted them at the U.S. Open where it should the most. He was the low amateur 2 years ago, and he was T13 last year at Wingfoot, a much tougher golf course, probably more similar to what we'll see this week than Pebble Beach. I don't know how to explain that for Victor Hovland. I don't know. Maybe his iron play is just that good enough that it negates the need for a short game.
Let's go a little further down the odds sheet here and talk about some of the long shots, Essen. You produced wrote a piece on sportsbookwire.usatoday.com highlighting some of the long shots you might be sprinkling on. Can you talk about some of the names that maybe people aren't very familiar with that could show up in the leaderboard and actually make a real run at this tournament?
Yeah, I just want to quickly say that I do think the winner comes from among the favorites this week. I'm generally much more interested in long shots, but there are certainly still a few here to who can give it a run. Bubba Watson, people are familiar with him, two-time Masters champ. He hasn't cracked the top 30 at the U.S. Open since 2009, but this is a familiar course. He's won the Farmers Insurance Open before. Very strong off the tee. That's going to help Torrey Pines here. I'm kind of interested in Watson. Hopefully he can get some better success at the U.S. Open than usually he does. Matthew Wolff at plus 15,000. This is very risky pick. This is not for the faint of heart. His 2020 has been an absolute disaster. Two withdrawals, disqualified from the Masters for an incorrect scorecard. Three withdrawals, actually. Two mid-tournament and one early from the PGA Championship. But he was the runner-up at last year's U.S. Open. Six strokes distant runner-up, but he was still the only guy given Bryson DeChambeau a run for his money. Plus 15,000 is the story here. That's way too high of a number. As Tim said, recency bias only matters so much, and then it's career trajectory. And Matthew Wolff, a short trajectory, but already a winner on PGA Tour, a great showing at the U.S. Open last year. I really like him. If we want to go crazy long, Taylor Pendriff is a guy I want to keep an eye on this week. Plus 40,000. Now, this guy's excellent off the tee. He had a decent showing at last year's U.S. Open. That was his first PGA Tour appearance, and plus 40,000 is just a high number for a guy who finished in the 20s last year or last fall.
I sense a some type of bias there, Eston. I'm not sure. Is there something north of? No, I don't. I'm not sure. Anyway, something. He's a Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, is he? News to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Taylor Pendriff definitely has the type of game he could emerge. I like Matthew Wolff, too. That's a really interesting choice. I'm looking for some bounce-back players. I tell you what, Webb Simpson is a guy who has fallen off our radar completely. Remember when a year or two ago we were talking about this guy emerging into the one of the game's great players? He hasn't been horrible. I mean, he hasn't been as bad as you think just because he hasn't been at the top of leaderboards. He's been in the top 10, top 20 of most tournaments over the last month or two. Another guy who just a tireless worker, a player who, when he gets into a rhythm, he's got the kind of game that he's an unflappable kind of guy. And I think that he's someone that at, I, I'm not sure what his odds are now. 5,500, something like that.
I see plus 4,000.
Okay, well, that's a little lower than I saw. But yeah, that's he's a guy who could absolutely emerge from the pack. And in a U.S. Open, you remember, the only reason I don't like someone like Matthew Wolff, he has the game. And by the way, he's one of the guys I love watching. How can you not love watching that swing he has, which is so fun? But he still has a propensity, as he's shown through the WDs, to get a little hot-headed. In a U.S. Open, in a tournament like this, for the most part, not always, the guy who can kind of stay straight and steady and you know, overcome some obstacles is the one who's going to win. Now, that's not always the case. Bryson DeChambeau is as hot-headed as they come about some things, and he won last year. But a guy like Webb Simpson, who is kind of methodical in his approach and can kind of stay the course if the conditions get a little windy and difficult on that course, he'd be an interesting bet at 4,000. I don't mind Webb Simpson.
I feel like you talked a lot about Webb Simpson last year, Esten. He's kind of cooled off this year. Is that accurate? That's kind of what Tim was saying.
Last year, I bet Webb Simpson pretty much every single week. Lost a lot of money on old Webb.
All right. It's a sore subject. Yeah, but I'm sorry.
There was a reason I loved him then. And yeah, those reasons are still there to love him this week. Like Tim said, he hasn't done anything bad. No part of his game has slipped. He's just not getting those wins that I really wish he had gotten.
T12 at the Masters, T9 at the RBC, tied for 30th at the PGA Championship. Again, it's not like this guy's missing cuts. He just hasn't put a real string together. He's had a couple of blips here and there. So, he's still not at the top of his game, but could certainly hit that gear on a week like this. Wouldn't surprise me.
A story or a conversation you probably should have led off with, and probably the biggest story right now in golf, at least in my perspective, would be the beef and public spat between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. Does that do anything for how you handicap this, Esten, or I don't know. I know there's a head-to-head match here in the BetMGM's U.S. Open markets, but does their beef, does their issue have anything to do or a factor into your handicapping at all?
You know, you thought it was until the USGA came out here and split these guys up for the first two rounds. It's tradition that the last three U.S. Open champions play together. I don't know why this isn't happening. The USGA just robbing us all of, pure excitement Thursday and Friday. I have a piece coming out tomorrow for Sportsbook Wire and GolfWeek.com. I'm going to look at the available options for these two and how to get action on this, super fun rivalry. Right now, the 72-hole matchup, Bryson DeChambeau minus 125 favorite, Brooks Koepka plus 100 underdog here. I got to go with Koepka plus 100, two-time U.S. Open winner, four-time major champion. To me, that warrants the nod over DeChambeau. Both have a win this year. DeChambeau is probably a little more high profile than Arnold Palmer versus Koepka at the Waste Management. But Koepka has two runner-ups and strong tournaments as well. He played last week at the Palmetto Championship. I don't understand why. Maybe, Tim, you can shine some light on that. Makes no sense for me for him to go to the East Coast to a tournament that nobody cares about, miss the cut, so at least he got the early jump on travel. But it's just a strange decision to me. But Brooks Koepka is my pick here, mostly because of the plus 100. Bryson DeChambeau, his game is built for the U.S. Open, so it's tough to fade him for me.
I don't know why, and we were many of us on staff were surprised by that decision as well. Maybe it's something with his leg. He's still trying to work through some kinks and making sure that he doesn't get too cooled off over a long period of time. This is a guy who obviously knows how to play majors. He's done that well. I will tell you, I'd like to personally thank both of these players because our numbers are sky high at Golf Week, thanks to all of the incredible feuding back and forth. I can tell you our top story today is about feuds and other feuds in the golf world. It's all because of, if they wanted this player improvement fund thing to be a big deal, they sure have gotten it off to the right start because these two guys are obviously trending and everything. But I don't think if you look at either of them, and I would consider Bryson to be the hotter head of the two. These guys are pros. These guys have played a lot of golf over the years. These guys have played in pressure situations, in match play, in international competition. Look, they love this off the course, but when they're on and in the arena, you know, that they're in, I think it's pretty insignificant, the actual rivalry. Even if they were playing together, the word is that Bryson said no to a pairing, that we actually have a story up on that right now. Then the USGA and Bryson's management team have said that wasn't the case. Either way, I don't think it would affect them. If their games are on, they're going to play well. Doesn't matter who's in their pairing. Doesn't matter, unless it's Tiger Woods. Doesn't matter what rivalry it is. That wouldn't affect the way I bet these guys. Like I agree with Eston. If you're getting value out of Brooks, I'd take Brooks.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering if Bryson's -125 price in his head-to-head against Brooks had anything to do with one of the others' popularity or, I don't know, the motivation aspect, even though they're not actually paired next to each other. It's just like a betting market. So,
yeah, right. My question is Brooks healthy? I mean, if he is, I know he played well and has played well at the PGA and other places, but I still don't think he's 100% healthy. And if that's the case, you take out of the two of them, you probably think Bryson's that's why he's getting the odds that he's getting. But if you're looking at value, I'd probably take Brooks when you're getting it in this situation.
Wouldn't him playing at that somewhat, yeah, the Palmetto, the pretty much meaningless tournament, would that suggest that he's healthier, or that maybe he understands the limited amount of reps that he's gotten this year and I guess wants to warm up into it? I don't know. Does him playing tip your head or tip you in one way or the other on his health?
No, I think he's still searching, honestly. And I think that would be my reaction to this, is that he's still trying to figure this out. Remember, if these guys even have the smallest injury, the way that they compensate in their swings is, you know, it's such a piece of art, you know, a golf swing. And these guys have the smallest thing that happens to them, and it makes it really difficult to replicate if there's a small nagging injury. I think he's just trying to work through some things, to be honest with you. I don't think he ever would have played in that in a normal situation. I think he's still trying to figure out if this leg works the way it's supposed to work.
Right. And that would probably explain most of the pricing more than anything else, right?
That's what I would think. Yeah.
I mean, that's all we're doing here is guessing. I know you're not a huge gambler here, but what are some names that you would put on your US Open sports betting, or your US Open betting portfolio?
You know, a guy I love, living in Austin, Texas for a while and seeing him a little bit, is Scottie Scheffler. Just his game he's just this big guy who just kind of rolls through life and hits the ball and plays golf and enjoys himself a little bit. And I just love watching Scottie Scheffler walk around the golf course. And he's so powerful. He's again, a guy who I think can persevere through some tough times if need be. It wouldn't surprise me. Eston was saying about Matthew Wolf on the career arc. He's still very early, but he could be there. I think Scottie Scheffler is that guy. It might not be this year, but it's going to happen at some point soon enough. And if it's a little early, like Colin Morikawa was at the PGA Championship last year, it wouldn't surprise me in Scheffler's case. He's definitely got the game to win this thing.
Excellent, man. Do you have any other thoughts or, like, I guess, handicaps or things to pay attention to here that you want to kind of bid our listeners adieu with?
I like I said, I think Phil, I would steer clear of Phil. I'd steer clear of a lot of the older guys. I think people become nostalgic for players. And then when something happens, like what happened with Mickelson at the PGA Championship, we start talking about guys like Adam Scott or Gary Woodland or guys who've had a great career in the past. Man, I'm telling you, golf is becoming a real young man's game in a hurry. I would be much less surprised to see the Scheffler or Hovland or these young guys who maybe don't have the resume just yet, But to see someone of that older ilk come back again, I think you're just throwing money away. It's my personal opinion. Now, it worked out for you at the PGA Championship if you did do that, but not too often will it be the case just because it happened that once.
I actually know one guy who put a little bit on Phil Mickelson. Unbelievable.
That's crazy start.
Not a sharp. Let me tell you, not a sharp. But hey, he got there. Oh, man. I know you got to get out of here, Tim, but everything you just said, like your final thoughts, are pretty much going to the window with me on my two bets here for the U.S. Open. Spoiler, I do like Victor Hovland, and I am fading Phil Mickelson. So you've made me feel good, and I'm gonna send you the podcast when I'm done. I'm sure you'll listen to it anyway, so you can hear my picks and see if I'm kind of saying similar things to you, even though you put a lot more logic behind what I'm gonna say.
I'll really just be listening to hear the Sportsbook Wire Emperor.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's all you should be listening for.
Congrats again on that. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye.
All right, man. Let's get a little bit into your bet portfolio for the U.S. Open, since you're the resident golf sharp and you're rolling in on a winning note here from the Memorial. Again, I've said that numerous times, but I'm just blown away that someone could actually win in golf, and you did it in front of my very eyes. So hey, what are some of the bets that we haven't talked about that you're dialing in on here?
So I mentioned John Rahm as my reluctant outright winner. To avoid sticking with that, I'm going to go with Rahm for a top five finish. You can still get plus 190 there. I think that's fine for me, and that hedges against a very strong field. So we touched on it a couple weeks ago, mentioning how it's always a good idea with the hedge with Tony Finau in every tournament. Unfortunately, it didn't work for us at the Memorial, but that's kind of what you got to do with all these big names in a major field, and get them with that top five, get it each way at the sportsbooks you can. You can't at BetMGM, so just a straight top five for John Rahm. I like the top player markets always. That's generally a first stop for me. Top English. Tim had a good word of advice there on you got to avoid hotheads at the U.S. Open in particular, just because of the condition, how frustrating they are for the players, that thick, long, nasty rough and the lightning quick greens. So that's going to be, I'm going to take that advice. I'm going to fade Tyrrell Hatton at plus 400 as the favorite there. And I'm actually going to go down quite a bit to Matt Wallace at plus 1100. To me, he is a guy who has had those temperament issues before. He seemed to have gotten those under control. He's had some great finishes on the PGA Tour this year, playing a lot more in North America than he has before. Great long iron player, great on long par fours, which we see plenty of at Torrey Pines. So I like that at plus 1100 as a value pick for me. Top American is a very tough pool this week. And, we talked about Koepka, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Tim likes this week. That's not even touching on Justin Thomas or Tony Finau, really. That's a very, very tough pool. Now, it's interesting, though, that in the outright market, Dustin Johnson has the better odds than Brooks Koepka, but they're evenly priced in top American. I'm going to stay away for the most part, except maybe a light bet on Justin Thomas. His one major win was the PGA Championship, but he has played well at the U.S. Open as well, and his accuracy off the tee could make him a play over some of these other longer hitters who are a little less accurate in the U.S. Open rough. Top European, Victor Hovland, plus 750. That's my pick. That's a fade of Rahm and a fade of Rory McIlroy. He's third by the odds in that pool. I like him. We talked about him. The short game isn't as good as a Rahm per se, but he has shown very well in his two U.S. Open appearances to date. What else do we have here? Top former winner. Webb Simpson at plus 800 isn't bad. Tim touched on him. And the outright market at plus 4,000. plus 800 here as the sixth choice behind Johnson, Koepka, DeChambeau, Spieth, and McIlroy. I like the value at plus 800 there. Obviously, you're fading some big names. Once again, similar to the top American market, you know, four of these guys in the top American market as well. But I like that value on Webb Simpson. And then top left-hander. You know, everyone going to be drawn to Mickelson, plus 300. We touched on him, plus 5,000 for the outright. Brian Harman, plus 275. He played very well at the Masters. And Garrick Higo, plus 275. He's coming off that win at the Palmetto Championship, which we kind of downplayed the meaningfulness of that. But Garrick Higo, obviously in great form, this guy. Plenty of wins on the European Tour and the South African Sunshine Tour. Plus 275, clearly in good form. I like that as well.
Awesome. Well, good stuff, dude. I've given you a lot of betting content, a lot of angles, a lot of handicaps that you can listen to and hopefully pick up some insight, and it'll help you going into the 2021 U.S. Open, kind of craft your betting portfolio and how to attack this major. But we save our best bets for our final segment, which we're hitting now, and that's Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All righty, man. So I have two best bets here. Well, technically, because I played the across the board betting angle here, similar to horse racing with one of my bets. But the first bet here that I want to talk about is I got Victor Hovland to win this tournament. I took him at plus 2,500 to win, top five at plus 450, and top 10 at plus 225. How I would split it, I guess round numbers would be like, I'd put $25 on the to win. I'd put $25 on top five, and then $50 on top 10 type thing. $100 one unit type thing. Split it up. Victor Hovland was third in the Golf Week World Rankings. He's 10th in true strokes gained over the past 6 months, but he's trending up. He's got the fifth highest true strokes gained in the last 20 rounds played, fifth in strokes gained off the tee, and sixth in strokes gained tee to green, excuse me. He's got the second most true strokes gained at Torrey Pines South, but has only played in four rounds. And he's tied for the most top fives this season with six. He's also got the most shots or strokes gained at Torrey Pines South for the Farmers Insurance Open out of everyone who made the cut. He finished tied for second in that tourney this season. So I'm going Victor Hovland. I'm going to bet him across the board. And that's a name that I heard Tim mention a few times. So I'm excited to get on the same wavelength as him or be on the same wavelength as him.
Yeah, ride those coattails as long as you can. I can't say anything mad about a Victor Hovland pick. I have money on Victor Hovland this week as well. I have since the odds open for the 2021 US Open last fall. I love him, love his game, and love how he's looked in two appearances at the US Open before. But for me, I can't stray from it. John Rahm, plus 900. Yeah, it's chalky, especially when you look at Dustin Johnson being plus 1600, Brooks Koepka, DeChambeau, Schauffele being 18. But yeah, I'm really scared to miss out on John Rahm this week. We talked about career trajectories, guys who have flirted with winning majors before, who, you know, it seems inevitable that they're going to do it at some point. John Rahm at this course just makes too much sense. And then when you add in the motivation factor of how he had a win stolen from him at the Memorial, John Rahm plus 900 is my pick to win the 2021 US Open.
All right. Do you have a few more you want to get off your chest here? Because I only got one more.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to DeChambeau, Brooks, Bryson, Brooks. DeChambeau, the favorite, minus 125. I'm not going to play into the injury concern. I think that probably is reflected in the pricing here, and maybe it should be a concern. Now, Brooks Koepka, four-time major winner. No, he's geared up to beat DeChambeau, the reigning U.S. Open champion. They can downplay that rivalry as much as they want. I'm not going to buy that that's not at least a small factor here. Plus 100, even money, 72-hole matchup. Ride that one out through the weekend. Both guys are going to make the cut. Brooks Koepka at plus 100 to beat his good buddy Bryson.
It's good, buddy. Love how you put that. Okay. The other bet that I have, and again, we're getting our odds through BetMGM, so not every book has every head-to-head matchup, but the one that they have that I'm focusing on here is I'm taking Adam Scott -125 over Phil Mickelson. That's something I kind of tipped my hand at earlier when we were talking to Tim, but Scott finished tied for 10th at the Farmers Insurance Open while Mickelson was tied for 53rd. I guess there was a big turning point at Torrey Pines, at least for Mickelson, when they redesigned the course. Reese Jones redesigned the Torrey Pines South course so they can get into the U.S. Open or be used as the U.S. Open course back in 2001. And apparently Mickelson's form has fallen off since then. Post-redesign, he's averaging more than two strokes per turn. He went up from 69.33 strokes to 71.45 strokes. Pre-design, Mickelson was 53% of Mickelson's rounds were in the 60s. Post-design, just 29% were in the 60s. Scott has the most true strokes gained at the South Course with a minimum of 8 rounds played, and he has the second best or second most shots gained versus expectation. Also, Mickelson, I know he's coming in hot, but similar thinking to as Tim was saying, where it's kind of like, you know, it's hard for these old men essentially to keep it moving and the game is getting younger and younger. Well, you know, I thought Mickelson's PGA Championship victory was a little fluky. I know, you know, his interview afterwards where he's talking about how much work he's put in and all that stuff. Granted, but he's only got a 0.08 strokes gained this season, whereas Scott has 0.70 strokes gained this season. So he's just more of a consistent golfer. Obviously, that's baked into the pricing at -125 with Mickelson at +100. But I'm more or less fading Mickelson and his form at Torrey Pines, which is technically his home golf course, apparently. Him and Reese Jones, the architect of the latest or the most recent version of Torrey Pines South, just don't jive, and his performance has suffered since. So fading that. That's what I got on my U.S. Open betting slip. Well, let's finish up with yours.
All right, yeah, one final head-to-head here. You know, joked about Bryson and Brooks being good buddies. Going to flip to two actual good buddies, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, both -110 in this 72-hole matchup. Tim said Jordan Spieth is somebody he could see winning this week. I'm not going to go on that. To me, Spieth's accuracy off the tee is still his biggest issue, even amid this amazing resurgence in 2021. Justin Thomas, great approach player, great iron player, and much more accurate off the tee. Sacrifices a little bit of length, but I don't think that's going to be an issue here for him. It's long. It can play up to 7,800 yards, but Justin Thomas has played well on long golf courses where he wasn't necessarily expected to play well before too. So even money, or yeah, evenly priced, Justin Thomas -110 to finish better than Jordan Spieth.
Awesome. Well, I think that covers it, right?
Yes, sir.
Big thanks to
back and watch some golf.
Oh, hell yeah. Big thanks to Golf Week managing editor Tim Schmidt for joining us. It was his third appearance, and he's killed it in the first two appearances. Hopefully, Eston's positive golf momentum keeps rolling into this tournament. And either way, hopefully we've provided you some insight and some angles and some stuff that will just help you out in handicapping the 2021 U.S. Open. For Eston and Jeff, this is the Bet Slipping Podcast. Thank you for streaming us. Do us a favor, or streaming this episode. Do us a favor, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify. And you can check out all of our written handicaps for all major sporting events at sportsbookwire.com. But until next time, peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.